Hello and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour. I am joined today with Miss Cake Bitch. Hey. I can talk.
Well, you know what? Later on, I'm going to probably do some verbal acrobatics too. So
we are talking about Ju-on, The Grudge from 2002, the original The Grudge. This one is, I think, worth your time as well. An hour 32 minutes. This one is directed by Takashi Shimizu and written by Takashi Shimizu. Stars Megumi Okina, Misaki Ito, and Misa Uhara. And some other goodies. So yeah,
We should just go through and try and read all of the Japanese names.
If you haven't guessed, this is a Japanese movie. And this is what started The Grudge off in America. Yeah. This one right here. The American version of The Grudge only happened 2 years after the original Japanese version.
It's been a pretty big hit in Japan.
Yeah, big in Japan. And, well, let's talk about the, we're just going to skip the synopsis kind of thing like we did last time.
It's basically we're just gonna, the same as the American Grudge. Yeah.
We're just going to kind of do a bullshit session for about 20 minutes about this movie and do a little comparison.
So there's your warning.
Do a little comparison to the original.
Association.
Spoiler warning. We're just going to probably just go over whatever we want whenever. So,
Yeah,
very much like the Americanized one, we have Kyoko and Toshio, which could be a product of a husband douchebag who basically gets upset that Kyoko is interested in another man. We don't know that from this.
Well, at some point in the movie, somebody mutters that their child's not theirs. So I think he thought his child wasn't really his.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and note, this is a lot gorier than the American version. The American version was actually sanitized.
Yeah, when we get this one kicking off, we get started right away with douchebag husband murdering his wife, Kyoko, and son, Toshio.
Yep.
And kitty cats.
Yes, and there's blood.
Yeah. Lots of blood.
A lot of blood in the
American. He uses a knife.
Yep, I think there's some spatters.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's a little more horrifying.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit more intense. Now, this whole movie is not as intense, I would say, as the American version. Towards the tail end of this Japanese original, things get a little bit wonky.
A little artsy-fartsy.
Yeah, a little bit artsy-fartsy. I think that's a good way to say it. So, let's talk about what we already mentioned the similarity of, like, how the setup is very much the same and the beats are kind of the same. We do get a different kind of intro, though, where they talk more about the grudge spreading.
Yes, which evolving. Then makes more sense going into the sequels.
Right.
Yes.
So they mention right off the bat with their opening title cards.
I feel like the American version just didn't.
Yeah.
Approach that?
Right.
Maybe they assumed everyone was watching the Japanese ones first.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think that's the way it works in America.
No, I don't think so.
But, yeah, so they talk about the grudge basically much like they do in the Americanized version where it is a curse that is spawned from the
intense rage.
Yeah, intense rage. And we have a very similar lore where when people enter the house, they kind of take the curse with them. However, our title cards tell us that the curse kind of evolves from there. It kind of changes and becomes something else.
Well, it was interesting. It becomes a new curse. So whoever succumbs to it kind of is reborn as a new curse.
Yeah.
So the monster actually changes. It's not always...
Yeah.
Is it Kyoko?
Kyoko.
Yeah, it's not always Kyoko that is getting you. It could be your friend who died before you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. I like that a lot. So tell me some of the things that you liked about this that worked for you.
Well, so the effects for the ghosts are not as CGI'd. Although the shadow monster that, like, hovers over the old lady, that was pretty bad CGI. But I also liked it. Okay. I liked that they treated Kyoko more like a shadow monster at the beginning. Like, she was building up power or something to attack these people.
Yeah.
Let me think. Oh, and I also really liked the old people that apparently didn't die after seeing Toshio.
Okay.
But they were playing peekaboo with him. Yeah. Which comes back in that artsy-fartsy thing, that, and it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
To me, it doesn't.
Other than maybe she was grasping at straws to try and defeat this thing. I don't know.
Taking it one step at a time, the black mass that kind of lurches over the old woman in the house that we have our caretaker, which is our main lead, going to see. When we have that happening, it's Kyoko. She's a black mass with eyes. And I think that looks very, very creepy. I mean, it worked for me.
It's creepy, but I mean, it wasn't done as well as the American version with the hair kind of like falling down. Right. It was more just like an outline of a body, which is fine. I liked it.
What I liked about it was it, in my opinion, tied in well with Kyoko having that, like, fetter of the journal, you know?
Yeah.
The journal is kind of a constant in the Grudge stories. And it's where she wrote all of her love letters to the man she was obsessed with that didn't really know that she was obsessed with him.
Well, we don't know if he knew in this one.
Right. Well, for the Americanized version.
Yeah.
Japanese version might be a little bit different. We don't actually get why that journal sparked the husband's rage. But anyways, the journal is still a constant, and they still have that theme of it in where it has like that one page that has a split in the middle and a drawn eye coming out. And she does have drawings throughout the journal itself. And the reason why I like the black mass is because it feels like it's drawn onto reality.
Okay.
It feels like it's almost...
Do you think that was their intention?
I think so, because to me it feels like a piece of the journal kind of bleeding into reality, like a drawing of herself.
Yeah.
That's kind of very just scratched into the...
like a mad person might do.
Yeah, into the frame of our world, but it's coming from somewhere otherworldly, ghostly, kind of representing the journal.
Well, I liked, too, that she wasn't always ghostly, pale white.
And you could see, like, they focused when she was this black mass that was just kind of scratched into our world. You could see her eyes, which looked very vivid, and that's what they focused on as the camera zoomed in on the black mask. Black mass, you saw the eyes pop out, and the eye is a constant thing in the journal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it was a direct call to that.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you not want me to jump around? You just asked what my favorite parts were.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just wanted to comment as you're saying.
Oh, okay.
So you also mentioned the old people that were doing the peekaboo thing.
The peekaboo.
And I found something I found interesting was the old man that we get doing the peekaboo thing with what seemingly is nothing, but they do a very creative job with the effects in this movie to show that this old man that you're seeing here and there throughout the film, he's doing this peekaboo thing, and
everyone just thinks he's nuts. Yeah,
he doesn't seem to be looking at anything specific, but if you look at the reflections in mirrors, you can see reflections of Toshio wherever he's doing this. So it's kind of like he's playing peekaboo with the kid.
Yeah, and they do that in the second movie, right? It was the second movie that the old man was in the bus.
Yeah, yeah. The Americanized Grudge.
They treated it kind of the same way.
They have the same old man, which I thought was cool that they brought him in.
Oh, it was the same. It was the same old man. But I was like, oh, that would be weird.
Yeah, and they have him doing it on the bus, which creeped me out because I had not seen...
Totally creepy.
I had not seen the Japanese version at that point, and when he's doing it, I was like, what the hell is going on? But then they show in the reflection of a mirror that Toshio's sitting next to the girl on the bus.
She's aware of it at that point.
Yeah.
In the Japanese version, it's this first one.
Yeah.
The person's everyone is completely unaware that Toshio's there.
Yeah.
It did make me wonder why the old people weren't all dying. Like, that was one of my questions from the American version was, why was that old woman hanging on so long when, like, her entire family was just dropping like flies?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that the old woman already had some kind of mental disorder. So maybe she wasn't grounded enough in reality for the ghosts to affect her, maybe.
Perhaps.
I don't know. They don't say anything. And the old man that sees Toshio, you would think that he has a piece of the curse on him. But they don't tell you that he does. We don't see him at any point entering the house or having a connection with it.
Right. Maybe because you're so close to death, maybe you can see these things without
That's
it cursing
true.
You.
That's true. Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, but I love the old man. Like, Personally, I just love the old man. I don't find his little peekaboo and, all that and, creepy, yeah. actually. It felt very grandfatherly.
Okay.
Especially in this one. And in the American version, it does feel more creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're aware that Toshio is there from the start.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you aren't aware of it. And then you're just like, what's this old man doing? And then you find out and you're kind of like, oh, well, Toshio's pretty cute. So I get
yeah.
it.
I mean, he's got a cool look to him. Very gaunt, long face.
Yeah, he looks like every old man in any Japanese woodcut.
He does.
Painting.
He does.
He
exactly
looks
does.
Classically
yes.
Japanese. Yeah. So I don't even know. Is that racist?
No. And you also said
but
like
he does
the
look, like he's
the from look of the ghosts feel better. You said.
Yeah, I like the even though there wasn't as much mm-hmm. CGI, maybe because there wasn't as much CGI, they just felt like people.
Yeah.
And I feel like if a ghost were going to expose themselves to you, it would probably just look like a person.
Yeah.
Like, actually show themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I can say that I really like the way that they presented the ghosts, both Toshio and Kyoko, even douchebag husband.
Douchebag husband doesn't do any of the actual hunt in this so much.
Not so much, but he is in there like towards the tail end.
Yeah, but in the American version, I feel like he plays a little bit of a bigger role.
A little more of a presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they really hit it home in the American version why he did what he did. Whereas in the Japanese version, it's a little
more
bit vague.
Mystery, yeah.
Yeah. And I like that there's more mystery in this. But yeah, I do like the way that the ghosts look. I feel like the Americanized version did a great job. As well in capturing the look of the ghosts and keeping them very succinct with the original.
Well, and they stayed pretty true mm-hmm. to the original storyline.
They did,
like, surprisingly
so.
Close.
Yeah.
So they didn't do the artsy fartsy stuff at the end.
Something you mentioned. Well, I think that's a staple for a lot of Japanese films. The kind of artistic approach towards the ending that leaves things a little bit vague, and I think that's meant to be unsettling that you keep kind of going back to it and chewing on it.
Do you think that there's some connection to her? Because she, like, Kyoko, like, comes out of the girl's chest,
mm-hmm.
and do you think that is some analogy to her living in the hoodie of the girl in the third movie?
Was the second.
Third? Second movie. Yeah. Oh, God. Like, second. The second and third kind of blur together for me.
No,
not
to me.
Well, because
the third
because
is all
third,
on its own.
I know the third continues yeah. the second. So
you're talking
I get
about
confused,
the Americanized
in the, yes,
second
in the American
and third.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's not where they got the monster in the hoodie thing from.
It's possible. I think that was, I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping that the sequel, the...
Kyoko is a chest burster. It's fine.
Yeah, at one point it does seem like that. I'm hoping that Ju-on, The Grudge 2, the Japanese
explains
version...
Explains some of it.
Explains a little more. We'll find out. One thing that you did mention while we were watching it that you liked... that I picked up on was that in the Americanized version, we have Sarah Michelle Gellar going to the house because a coworker of hers went missing, and this was a female coworker. But in the Japanese version, it was a male.
Oh yeah,
nurse.
I forgot all about that. But yeah, it's like, I mean, Japan has its sexist issues, but apparently movies are not it. The nurse was, unless they're traditionally male in Japan, I don't know. But the nurse was a male instead of a female. Like, everyone else just assumes that nurses are female. In American movies, it's just always, I mean, they make a joke out of male nurses in Meet the Fockers. but
I didn't think much of it, but you did, so I thought it was worth bringing up.
Yeah, I thought it was refreshing.
Okay.
A nice little change of pace that the male nurse went missing versus you don't have all, like, I want to say there's more male victims, too, in this.
Yeah.
Versus, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar's boyfriend dies because he's trying to be a hero.
Yeah.
But, like, he didn't have to go in there. Like, it was just more evenly killed.
Sure. I didn't notice that either. I feel like they were pretty evenly scored on kills across the board for both films. But I mean, I don't really try to pick that kind of stuff out.
I mean, I just notice things.
Okay. So,
and maybe I'm wrong too. Maybe there were just as many dudes dying in the American version.
It's very possible.
I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, we could go back and find out.
No, that's okay.
going to what you were saying about the whole peekaboo thing, let's pull that towards the end of the movie when we have our lead actress, that's basically trying to do it herself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when she does this, she's having flashbacks to seeing this old man do it and realizing that, I don't know what she's realizing, but she basically realizes something, so she starts doing it herself. And the first time...
Although she doesn't say peekaboo.
Yeah. The first time she does it is when we get Kyoko kind of coming out from her chest, right?
Yeah.
And then she finds, like, she sees Kyoko not as the ghost, the vengeful ghost, but rather she sees Kyoko as a human.
Yeah.
And she gets flashbacks to a bunch of scenes in the film, even some scenes that she wasn't even involved in. So she's getting like a sort of
highlight reel.
Like a highlight reel, like a post-cognition kind of thing. Maybe the ghost is imparting this on her. But she sees all of these kills that are happening throughout the movie, but she doesn't, and you know, moments where Kyoko has appeared, but she doesn't see them as Kyoko as the vengeful spirit, but rather as Kyoko the human. And I don't know what that means, but maybe
it's cool. No.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact that she is not a vengeful spirit in a sense. Like, she is a player in this thing. She is not the danger that this woman needs to worry about. And I think that must be what it is, that when she realizes that neither Toshio nor Kyoko are the ones that she needs to be worrying about, because she tries to do it to the husband next, as the husband's going down the stairs towards her. And when she does it to the husband, she sees nothing different about him. She doesn't see him as a friendly human or anything. He just looks pissed off, covered in blood, and rage-filled. So, to me, that's possibly saying that now she knows who the real danger is and what she should be running from, but she's probably too frightened to, because she just sits there.
Yeah.
Well,
he's, like, on top of her, too. Like, he's right there when it happens.
Yeah.
When she realizes.
So, I'm not sure what...
Well, I think I said out loud that I think... Possibly it's not Kyoko who is stuck in the loop or Toshio.
You
that
did
it's
say
actually
this.
The husband is the curse versus Kyoko or Toshio. That he's the reason, he's the rage that lives on, and not so much the woman.
Right.
Who seems to be doing all the killing. But maybe she's actually reaching out for help. She's trying to get help and nobody can help her because she's a spirit.
Yeah, that's actually interesting, because we don't see her killing anyone per se. We do see her dragging people into nothingness.
Yeah.
Maybe that
then
is...
And we see them dying of fright
sometimes. Yeah. Maybe they're dying of fright because they're not... Maybe... You had said that maybe that's that way that she's doing the peekaboo, because it's a very specific way that she's working her fingers intertwined together and looking through them.
Yeah.
That maybe it's like some kind of ancient Japanese kind of symbolism.
Well, there's like, I forget what they're called, but in yoga, there's hand symbols that you do that mean something.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's some symbolism in the way she's holding her hands or the way that they're looking through their fingers.
We looked. We couldn't find anything.
Yeah, the internet was of no help. So if anybody knows anything.
Yeah, and I don't remember seeing anything like that in Yu Yu Hakusho, so, which is
Mudra.
Anime
Mudras,
about ghosts.
That's what they're called.
Thingsy. Yeah, I don't know. But
because,
I thought that
Buddhists will do the mudras too, and that's a pretty big religion in Japan as well.
Yeah.
So I don't. I
there
don't
might
know
be something there. I feel like we're drawing lines to
trying
things
to make
that
sense of it.
Might not be there, but it's the best we can do because we're not given a full spectrum.
Yeah.
We're not given a full telling, and that in
well,
a sense
also,
is kind of cool.
We're American, so perhaps we are missing.
That is cool, though, that there is something to chew on from this movie, and it is an enjoyable movie. The weird stuff at the end, which we covered. Kind of pulls me out. But
it didn't bother me. I mean, I kind of went, what is this?
But it doesn't pull you out in a very bad way. It pulls you out in a confused kind of way.
Yeah, like,
which isn't necessarily bad.
Wondering about it.
I felt like Megumi Okina, who played the character Rika Nishina, who
fantastic.
We are basically talking about mostly here.
Yeah.
She's the one that is your final girl. She makes it to the end. She was great, wasn't she?
Oh,
you were mentioning her micro-expressions.
Yeah, when she is scared, she does this little nostril twitch. And, like, I can't do that just on cue.
Yeah.
It felt, like, super realistic because her nostril would just twitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought she did a great job. I was very convinced and drawn into the film when she was on screen. I feel like there are some moments in this movie that I'm trying to cover up a lot here. We're running out of time. They cover a lot. They cover a lot in this film that is even in the sequel to the Americanized. So they're covering stuff that happens in like The Grudge 2, the Americanized version, which I found interesting that they're. This movie just had so much in it. it's making me excited to see the sequel to the Japanese version.
And they imply that the curse is reborn, so it makes room for the awful third American one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Excited to see the next one. We're going to talk about the Americanized Grudge number 2 next, and then we'll talk about Ju-on 2, and then we'll go into the Americanized Grudge 3. Yeah. Thanks for joining us today. Is there any last things that you want to throw out there for the listeners?
No, I think we covered it all.
Oh, well, let's rate this guy.
Oh.
1 out of 10.
An 8? Yes.
Okay.
I liked it better than the
you
American.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd give this one a 7.
Oh.
Yeah. I like the American one. This one had drawn me away from it with a lot of the sensibilities that come with Japanese cinema, which they're not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, see, I was going to give it a 7.5 like the American, but then I realized that I really enjoyed thinking about the ending.
Okay.
And the American one didn't leave you.
The American one was, I think, more fun for me.
Yeah.
This one had a lot of scenes because they do it much like the American one where they're jumping between characters. This one felt more as if it was presented in a manga kind of sense in its kind of title cards that went and told you the character's name they were going to cover and then they covered them. And there were a lot of characters in this.
There
more
were a lot of
than
characters.
The Americanized one. And it was, I feel like, a little bit too soon to end a lot of the coverage of these characters. It felt more like a Cliff Notes kind of coverage of a grudge attack,
well,
in
I
my
guess
opinion.
We'll find out if they cover any of those stories more in depth, though, in the sequels.
That would be nice. I didn't feel like I had enough time with those characters to feel
connected
as much of a connection as I did with the Americanized characters. Okay. And that was my main issue with it. But it's still a great movie. I still recommend you guys go check it out. And yeah.
All right.
I guess we'll close this out. Love you guys. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out! What you got?
Excuse me now!
What is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?